Please turn in your Bibles with me to the Gospel according to Matthew. Matthew's Gospel, chapter 1. Please follow along as I read this chapter. We're going to be concentrating today on verses 18 through 25. The book of the genealogy of Jesus Christ, the son of David, the son of Abraham. Abraham begot Isaac. Isaac begot Jacob. And Jacob begot Judah and his brothers. Judah begot Perez and Zerah by Tamar. Perez begot Hezron, and Hezron begot Ram. Ram begot Amminadab. Amminadab begot Nahshon, and Nahshon begot Salmon. And Salmon begot Boaz by Rahab. Boaz begot Obed by Ruth. Obed begot Jesse, and Jesse begot David the king. David begot Solomon by her who had been the wife of Uriah. Solomon begot Rehoboam. Rehoboam begot Abijah, and Abijah begot Asa. Asa begot Jehoshaphat. Jehoshaphat begot Joram, and Joram begot Uzziah. Uzziah begot Jotham. Jotham begot Ahaz, and Ahaz begot Hezekiah. Hezekiah begot Manasseh. Manasseh begot Ammon, and Ammon begot Josiah. Josiah begot Jeconiah and his brothers about the time they were carried away to Babylon. And after they were brought to Babylon, Jeconiah begot Shealtiel, and Shealtiel begot Zerubbabel, and Zerubbabel begot Abiud. Abiud begot Eliakim, and Eliakim begot Azor. Azor begot Zadok, and Zadok begot Achim, and Achim begot Eliud. Eliud begot Eleazar, Eleazar begot Mathan, and Mathan begot Jacob. And Jacob begot Joseph, the husband of Mary, of whom was born Jesus, who is the Christ. It is called Christ. So all the generations from Abraham to David are 14 generations. From David until the captivity in Babylon are 14 generations. And from the captivity in Babylon until the Christ are 14 generations. Now the birth of Jesus Christ was as follows. After his mother Mary was betrothed to Joseph, before they came together, she was found with child of the Holy Spirit. Then Joseph, her husband, being a just man and not wanting to make her a public example, was minded to put her away secretly. But while he thought about these things, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream, saying, Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take to you Mary, your wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Spirit. And she will bring forth a son, and you shall call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins. So all this was done that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken by the Lord through the prophet, saying, Behold, the virgin shall be with child and bear a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which is translated God with us. Then Joseph, being aroused from sleep, did as the angel of the Lord commanded him and took to him his wife and did not know her till she had brought forth her firstborn son, and he called his name Jesus. Dear congregation of our Lord Jesus Christ, in the account of Luke, the angel Gabriel appears to Mary and says, Blessed are you among women. And we think of that greeting that she received and we would say, Amen. Yes, you are blessed among women because in her would be created, formed, the seed of the promise of Genesis 3:15. She would be the woman through whom that seed, the Christ, would come. Within this virgin, God the Holy Spirit worked the miracle of Christ's sinless conception. In that moment, God the Son was inseparably joined to a perfect human body and soul from Adam's line through Mary. Even at his conception, he was in all ways like us, yet without sin. He had come into the world this way so that he could save his people who are conceived in sin's pollution, transferred to them from Adam. And yet Christ had to be more than human of Adam's line. He had to be born of David's family. It was not enough that Mary could trace her roots back through her father to David. We see her bloodline listed for us in Luke chapter 3 and the genealogy that's found there. Genealogies, as we see from chapter 1 of Matthew, were connected to the fathers, not to the mothers. And so Jesus needs an earthly father who was of David's family tree to adopt him. To be born outside of David's line would mean that he couldn't fulfill the Old Testament prophecies about him being a son of David. And so he would not have been the Christ. Joseph, Mary's betrothed husband, fits the role perfectly. Christ would be counted as having been his adopted descendant. And yet this perfect arrangement is almost destroyed, almost obliterated. What we see in our Bible passage this morning is that God the Father, in love for his people, will intervene. He will make sure that this adoption takes place. He will make sure that his only begotten Son is born of the line of David. This is what we see in Matthew chapter 1, verse 18 through 25. God the Father has his Son adopted by David's descendant. God the Father has his Son adopted by David's descendant. And we'll look at this under 3 points. First of all, Joseph's intention. And secondly, the Father's intervention. And thirdly, Joseph's submission. Joseph's intention, the Father's intervention, and Joseph's submission. First, then, Joseph's intention. As it was said, the arrangement between Joseph and Mary was about to be destroyed. This was because Joseph intended to divorce her. We read of that intention in verses 18 and 19. It says, "Now the birth of Jesus Christ was as follows. After his mother Mary was betrothed to Joseph, before they came together, she was found with child of the Holy Spirit. Then Joseph, her husband, being a just man, and not wanting to make her a public example, was minded to put her away secretly." Joseph's plan was based on suspected sin. They were betrothed. Now, boys and girls, the word betrothed means is that Joseph and Mary were as good as married. Like under the law, they were considered as husband and wife. What only remained was for them to have their wedding ceremony. and the 7-day celebration and feast of the wedding, and for them to come together as husband and wife physically. And so being as good as married before they could come together as physically as husband and wife, she's found to be pregnant. Maybe it was in Joseph's thinking. Maybe it could have been like Deuteronomy 22, verse 23 and 24 says, where a man forced himself upon a woman. A man raped a woman. And yet the law says that if she did not cry out for help, then she would be condemned for adultery along with the man. As Joseph sees it, she didn't cry out. She didn't report it. In fact, verse 18 says her pregnancy was found out. She didn't report anything. Joseph isn't told about the miraculous pregnancy at all. It's only when her belly is so swollen that it can't be hidden anymore, that's when he gets wind of her being pregnant. And it has all the markings of her being guilty of extramarital sexual relations. How painful this conclusion must have been for him. To wait and to long for his betrothed, to have that wedding day, to have the wedding feast, to be joined together as husband and wife physically. How could she do this? Who could have done this? She has to confess this man's name. How the swelling of her belly with child seemed ample proof to throw off any of her possible attempts to explain the miracle of God that was developing within her. Believing that Mary had sinned, Joseph, being a just man, was going to put her away, was going to divorce her. He felt compelled to do so. By being described as just in verse 19, we know that Joseph is a man of true faith. He is one who repents of his sins, believing that his sins will be dealt with in the coming Christ. He shows that faith in seeking God according to his commandments, working through the sacrificial system of the temple in faith. He seeks God according to all the laws of the ceremonial law. We would see in Luke 2, going to the temple and making the proper sacrifices and so on. He is this man who is faithful to the covenant, even as each one of us who are here is called to live faithful to the covenant. We must pause and ask why he seems so compelled. The law didn't forbid him to marry her. He would still be a just man if he married Mary. We think of the prophet Hosea, who married the prostitute Gomer. She was indeed one who was sexually compromised, who was engaged in sexual immorality. And yet, God did not forbid Hosea to marry her, but actually commanded him to marry her. So it's not that such a woman couldn't be married. But notice that it says that Joseph, being a just man, was minded to put her away secretly. As if his being a just man and his putting her away were somehow connected. Why is that? It is this way that he sees this as a sinful situation in which there has been no confession of adultery. He believes that Mary is trying to cover up her sin. And Joseph's life is one of faith, where all who believe ought to deal with their sins, not by covering them up, but by dealing with them, confessing them, making things right with those that they've wronged. And that's the life of the just. And Joseph is afraid to take Mary as his wife, lest he's found covering up Mary's sin and is so cooperating with her in covenant breaking. This is the life that we too must lead as those who seek to walk justly, where we deal forthrightly with sin. We do not cooperate with others in their sin. And now Joseph's intended plan, based on suspected sin, it is a very painful move for him to put into practice. All these the time of waiting, all of his emotion attached to this one called Mary. And now he has to pull away. And yet, as painful as it may be, he still will go through with it because it is a righteous decision. And so it is for each of us here that there are times when the decision to do what's right can be painful. I've seen it where young women and young men, out of a desire to be married, start to compromise the standards of God has for them as those who confess Christ, as to who they are to be married to. And they start dating unbelievers. But that is a wrong way, for 2 Corinthians 6:14 says we're not to be unequally yoked with unbelievers. And so breaking off that relationship can be painful. But it must take place in honoring of God and His standards. And so whatever we struggle with, wherever we've come to see a thing in our life where we're holding on to that, and it's wrong for us to hold on to, it may be painful for us to cut ourselves off of that, but we're called to, out of honoring Christ. As painful as the decision is, Joseph does not prosecute her to the full limit of the law. And this is more than what might be surmised as him still having compassion for her, still having a heart for her. No, this is more of a mark of a man of true faith. For this is mercy, the kind of mercy that marks God's people who've experienced the mercy of God. Thus, we're taught to take no part in sinful actions, as Joseph demonstrates, and yet in dealing with others in their sin to show them as much mercy as God's word allows. He wasn't going to make a public spectacle of her. He wasn't going to bring her out to have her stoned for adultery. In mercy, he will put her away privately. And that's his intent. And he's firm in his intention. He goes to sleep with that intention on his mind. While Joseph is intent on divorcing Mary, an angel appeared to him in his sleep in a dream. And by this, God the Father intervenes. We read of that intervention in verses 20 to 23. But while he thought about these things, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream. Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take to you Mary, your wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Spirit. And she shall bring forth a son, and you shall call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins. And so all this was done, that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken by the Lord through the prophet, saying, behold, the virgin shall be with child, and bear a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which is translated God with us. The timing of the Lord's intervening is always perfect. It's amazing. Here, Joseph is intent on his plans to divorce Mary. And if God the Father didn't step in, there would be no hope for Jesus to be our Savior, for he would be born outside of David's line. The prophecies concerning Jesus would lack fulfillment in this area, and so his fulfilling the scriptures in this area would be incomplete, and we needed him to complete all obedience to the will of God if we were to be saved. What about Mary? Mary would face all the social ramifications of her pregnancy alone. But like Joseph, Mary too is a woman of faith. Her hope isn't in herself. Her hope isn't in her situation. Nor is her hope for help in Jacob. Her trust is in God, who doesn't fail his own. She said in Luke 1, be it according to your will. It's the word of response she gives to the angel, who the Lord had already heard that response from her lips. She is one who trusts in the Lord. She was pregnant in obedience to God's word spoken by Gabriel to her. She trusted that in God's timing, all would be worked out correctly. He will intervene for the Christ child and for her at the right moment. Congregation, we must be those who trust also in the Father's timing. We must look to Him as our chief source for help. He is able, even in the most dire circumstances, for He is the maker of heaven and earth. And He is also willing to help, for He is a faithful Father, knowing what we need of even before we ask it. The Father, as we said, did intervene. He does so through His word given by His angel in Joseph's dream. God the Father still intervenes in our lives by His word, worked into our hearts by God the Holy Spirit. The Bible is God's speaking to you. It is the way He is leading us in our lives. And it is the way of life we must live. So children, don't look to your dreams to try to see what God might be telling you. Look to the Bible, His word, and follow His word as your guide. For in the Bible, we have the revelation of the Father to us. It is the word of Him who cannot and does not lie. It is all that we need to learn of the way of salvation and how to serve Him in thankfulness for all the love that He has shown us. But what did the Father's word of intervention say? The word first pointed to Joseph being a descendant of David. Joseph, son of David. This would bring to Joseph thoughts about the hope of Christ's coming that he looked forward to. The angel then assures Joseph that he does not need to fear that he's taking part in a sinful deed by marrying his betrothed. For the child conceived in her is of God the Holy Spirit. This is saying that this child is holy. He is not an unholy union that occurred outside of marriage. He is also holy in a deeper sense. For the Christ child, conceived by work of God the Holy Spirit and unaided by Joseph, meant that this child didn't have any of the corruption of Adam's sin passed on to him. He is sinless, absolutely morally pure from conception on. And we know that this is so important. For if he had been a sinner like us, we would never be saved from God's wrath. For a sinner cannot save himself, let alone save others. What a miracle that out of a sinner like Mary, a sinless child was conceived and born. Being a work of God the Holy Spirit is also saying that this child's conception and soon to be birth is a miracle of Almighty God. In Luke chapter 1, verse 35, Mary already had this miracle explained as much as a human being can understand. The angel said to her that this child conceived in her would be the Son of God. That is the miracle of Christmas. God the Son, being joined by a work of God the Holy Spirit to a perfect human body and soul of the Virgin Mary. As we think of it this day, on this Christmas day, we ought to be amazed all over again. This was God the Son. The Prince of all glory puts aside His glory so as to take the form of a servant from conception on. He who owes nothing to anyone gives Himself as the greatest gift to us. He who gave the law by His conception and birth puts Himself under the demands of that law for others. He who fills heaven and earth, the whole universe is contained within Him. In Him we live and move and have our existence as God. He takes up residence in a very special way in a human being. He who is sinless lives in a sinner inside Mary's womb. He who is spirit takes to himself physical existence, becoming bone of our bone and flesh of our flesh. He takes to himself a body and a soul that he will never again be separate from. He who dwelt in the sinless heaven came to a sinful earth. He who was above the world came into the world. The eternal entered into time and space. The Almighty became a helpless child in Mary's womb. What a miracle. He did all this because of the fact that He is Jesus. That is, Savior. He is the only Savior. The one promised Deliverer. And He is the effective Savior who will save His people from their sins. And He will accomplish all that the Father sent Him to do and all that was needed to do to deliver his people from the just wrath of God that was against them due to their breaking of his commands and because of their guilt in Adam. He earns for them the application of that saving grace won by him through his humiliation. The fact of his conception and soon to be birth proves that he will go all the way, even to the cross and the grave, to save them. He is Jesus, the great deliverer. Moses only led Israel out of slavery in Egypt. Christ, however, saves all those given to him by the Father. Of all that the Father has given him, he will lose none of them, but will raise them up at the last day. All who trust in him experience a deliverance from the penalty of their sins. All those of the Old Testament and all of the New Testament and all who are saved until he comes again. He saves all who look to him in faith. He saves them all life long and for eternity. For he is our Emmanuel, God with us, that is God for us. Joseph doesn't as yet fully understand all the implications of the angel's statement. He understood by the grace of God enough to believe the message and to know that this child he must adopt, he would behold the promised Savior. But we understand from the Bible the implications of his birth. For this fact, we must praise God's name today. Praise God the Father on this Christmas day for his intervening in the plans of Joseph so as to bring to pass our Savior who would be born of David's line as he needed to be so that we might be saved through him. And yet God the Father's objective still isn't achieved. Joseph still needs to obey. But the Father who has worked through faith in Joseph will also by the Holy Spirit make the word he gave Joseph effective in him. So Joseph submits in obedience and Jesus is adopted into Joseph's family tree. We read of Joseph's obedience in verses 24 and 25. Then Joseph, being aroused from sleep, did as the angel of the Lord commanded him, and took to him his wife, and did not know her till she had brought forth her firstborn son, and he called his name Jesus. Joseph's obedience was marked by three things. First, it was immediate obedience. He wakes up and right away gets to going as to do all that needed to be done and all the arrangements that needed to be arranged for him to take Mary to be his wife. And second, his was enduring obedience. He waits to have physical union with his wife until Jesus is born. And that's important. For then there was no possibility of having the truth of the miracle of Christ's virgin birth ever being doubted. He was conceived of the Holy Spirit and not of Joseph. And third, Joseph showed detailed obedience. He makes sure that after weeks of waiting, that the Christ is named Jesus and is circumcised. It is this type of obedience that we are called to. One that is immediate. One that is enduring. And one that is detailed. Joseph's obedience though, must not overshadow the wonder of the birth of Jesus Christ, our Emmanuel, that the Father brought about by a work of God, the Holy Spirit. His birth is and always must be of the greatest, if not the greatest wonder God had ever done. The miracle has come. God coming into the world. And as we celebrate Christmas, let us be thankful to God the Father for His grace that brings to pass all His saving plans. Amen. Let us pray. Father in heaven, we thank You that You did intervene, that You made sure our Savior was born not only as a descendant of Adam in His humanity, but also, O Lord, descendant of David. He is truly David's son. And how we thank You for that greatest of all gifts. In Jesus' name, amen.